One more individual. Let's see, last individual, please.
Request of Larry Snell to address council regarding hiring dismissal procedures. That's number 535. Mr. Snell? Possibly not present.
Looks that way. Very well. Could we please, could you please tell me, Sue, has anything been pulled off of the consent agenda?
Three items, number 544, 545, and 547.
544, 545, and 547?
Correct.
Very good. We have legal counsel here now waiting for this and anticipating 544. Your anticipation turned out to be accurate, so why don't we go ahead and take this item while we have legal counsel with us, because I know she has to go elsewhere. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Mayor.
And could you, and Sue, read 544 again just so people know what we're talking about?
Item 544, authorize the city attorney to institute legal proceedings against Clark County, Washington, to seek an injunction prohibiting the release of city records without further redaction.
Good morning.
Good morning, Council. I'm Tracy Reeve. I'm the Portland City Attorney, and with me is Rebecca Plaza, who's a senior deputy city attorney and who oversees our public safety group. We are before you with this resolution because a number of years ago, the Portland Police Bureau released a record at the request of Clark County, Washington, that was a police report of a child sex abuse incident. At the time of the incident, which occurred in 1992, the child was 4 years of age. Under Oregon law, child sex abuse reports are protected from disclosure under ORS Chapter 419B. Clark County notified us when they received a public records request that included this record, and they notified us that under Washington law, they would be able to make only minimal redactions, removing the victim's name, but not other identifying information and not the information about the content of the report detailing the abuse. PPB was concerned about this, and their victim advocate reached out to this victim, and that victim indicated very strongly that they wished to have the confidentiality of the record protected. Clark County has given us some additional time before releasing the record and notified us that the way we could seek to address this issue was to ask a court for relief in the form of injunctive relief, asking for either that the record not be released or that it only be released with further redactions. And because of the very unique circumstances of this case, and because we believe that with the events having occurred in Oregon, the record being a PPB record and the victim being located here, that Oregon has the predominant interest. And so we would like the opportunity to present that legal issue to the Washington County Court and ask them to evaluate this record under Oregon law, because it's an Oregon record and the bulk of the contacts are with Oregon.
Very good. Could I ask you a couple of questions?
Of course.
About this? Number one, I get the gist of it. Number two, if we support this, what we are supporting is this will ultimately go to a judge for a final determination. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I assume that this is being done in collaboration with Clark County. It does not seem like this is being seen as a hostile act. This seems like there is almost a desire that this conflict be resolved through a court.
Certainly, Clark County has been cooperative from notifying us and then from giving us additional time to seek this relief. They understand the city's position. They simply feel legally constrained. And so, yes, it's not a hostile. Everyone agrees that this is the way to sort this out.
So the Oregonian this morning had an editorial on this subject.
I saw that.
They raised a couple of very valid points. There's some big issues at play. The reason that we are evaluating this is, number one, to resolve the conflict between Oregon and Washington statute in these matters. And so there's a precedence question. The other issue that was raised by the editorial was the question of redaction, more generally speaking. Anytime government redacts, that comes at the cost of transparency and potentially government accountability. How would you respond to the larger question in this particular case, that this is a justifiable redaction, or alternatively, how can you, what can you say to the public that says there goes government redacting information that should be publicly disclosed? What confidence can you give the public that this is the right thing to do?
Well,
or that there are checks and balances in this
right process?
So
a couple of things. One is that I think everyone would agree that everything that the city has and uses for its business is a public record. That means, for example, that all of the taxpayer information that we have that's confidential, social security numbers, employer identification numbers, et cetera, are public records. We don't obviously turn those over willy-nilly in response to public records requests because there are very legitimate privacy concerns that the legislature has recognized. So, too, in this situation, the Oregon legislature has made a policy decision that these records should be protected from disclosure because that balance tips in favor of the child sex abuse victim. We have this unique situation here where we gave our record to Clark County for a law enforcement purpose, and then the public record request was made there. So this is a very unique circumstance, but the policy decision, I would argue, has already been made by the Oregon legislature that in balancing transparency versus confidentiality for child sex abuse victims, they've come down on the side in that specific category of cases on confidentiality. So the city, you know, we respond to the vast majority of public records requests by releasing the records. On occasion, there is a balancing that needs to occur as to, you know, legitimate privacy interests, for example, of members of the public who give us information that they assume will be kept confidential. And so we evaluate that on a case-by-case basis. This process that is set out is when there is disagreement about that, to have a legal mechanism for a trier of fact, a decision maker, to resolve that. In most cases here, it's the district attorney. In some cases, it's the circuit court. Similarly, in Washington, the Washington Superior Court would be asked to look at these at the interest that the Oregon legislature has already established for confidentiality for child sex abuse victims versus the balance Washington has struck, and to make a decision about which state has the greater interest and which state's law should apply.
So in this case, we have a then 4-year-old victim of sexual abuse whose advocate is asking that we redact specific information from this record. Information, I just want to fully disclose, I have not seen, so I don't know what the specific information is. The concern being re-victimizing the 4-year-old
exactly
through this process. But to be clear, just so I understand the process, it will go to a judge in Washington State who will then look at the actual information and determine whether or not it is in the public's interest to disclose that information or not.
Correct.
And if we vote no on this, that process simply never happens, or what happens?
If we vote no on this, Clark County will release the record on June 12th?
June 13th.
13th.
Okay.
May I?
Commissioner Fish.
So, Tracy, I really appreciate you bringing this forward, and I appreciate the mayor putting it up front because I think this is a very important question. A couple of things. The 4-year-old victim in 1992 today would be about 30 years old?
Correct.
Okay. We don't have any extensive information about whether that person is currently in therapy, whether they have an advocate, or what the numerous bases might be as to why this individual does not want this record disclosed, correct?
Correct.
The only thing we know for sure is that under Oregon law, there's a flat prohibition of disclosing this unless you go through a process with the DHS, a state agency. So you had mentioned earlier that some public records issues are resolved on a balancing test that's ultimately decided by the district attorney or the court. This is not one of them.
That's correct.
We have the legislature, not the city council, has made a judgment that these records should not be disclosed absent very compelling circumstances, and you'd have to go through an administrative process. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, neither the mayor nor any member of council, to my understanding, has actually read the document, so we don't know whether there's information about other family members, if there's information about the specific crime. What we do know is you have a 4-year-old victim, and we do know that there was a perpetrator who either pled out or was convicted of a crime, correct?
That's correct.
Now, our assumption is that Clark County requested this information at some point in order to enforce a law that requires a convicted sex offender to register in a new jurisdiction. Is that correct?
That is our assumption.
So the bigger takeaway from me before I get to the specific question before us is does this case prompt us to revisit what information we provide to sister law enforcement jurisdictions? But for example, if all they need is proof that someone was convicted without the underlying documentation, it seems to me that would be a policy change that we should look carefully at, correct? So that we're just giving the minimal amount of information to any other jurisdiction?
That is true, and this has highlighted that issue for us. We're working with the Bureau to explore ways that they can furnish the information that other jurisdictions need without ending up in this situation again.
And let's go back to the choice of law question, because, before I was elected to this council, I practiced law for 22 years, and one of the things that I was always struck by in litigation is that one of the first questions a court would decide is which law applies, and that's why you have judges. Judges make those decisions. In federal court, you have conflicts of law that happen more regularly because in federal court you typically have parties from different states or different jurisdictions. But this issue about whether a court chooses to enforce this law or this law, that's not a radical notion, right? That's what judges do. They decide what body of law applies, and then they apply it.
Absolutely. I remember first year civil procedure learning about choice of law.
And as a technical matter, while we often see federal judges make those decisions, this state court judge may also decide based on the policy considerations, the history of the interest that Oregon has, and Oregon's clear statement of the law, to apply our values and principles in deciding this question, correct?
Absolutely. State court judges, although you're right, of course, Commissioner, that it's more common in federal courts, state courts also make choice of law decisions.
Now, we were notified of this as a third-party notification from Clark County, and that's a routine matter, right? They're getting a records request. It's our record, and they give us notification. So that's nothing abnormal about that.
That's correct.
The notice to the city said, if you have a concern about this record being disclosed, i.e., we recognize that this could not be disclosed under Oregon law, then your recourse is to bring an injunction, meaning bring a legal proceeding and ask a judge to decide it, correct?
That's correct.
And to the mayor's point, that is viewed as a legal a garden variety kind of proceeding where we allow a neutral third party to decide the question that may be in dispute.
Exactly.
But let's be clear. If this perpetrator today abandoned the Clark County proceeding and came to Oregon and said, I want these records, he or she could not get them.
That's correct.
All right. So, to the editorial, which I read with some interest today, because it seems to me it omitted a lot of relevant information, including the age of the victim, including the fact that there is a judicial procedure to decide these questions. And by the way, for those who argue that we should never have a district attorney or a judge decide these cases, I'm all for eliminating our whole judicial system. We could save a lot of money. No, seriously. And I would remind people that the cases that get to the Supreme Court have usually been decided by 3, 4, 5, 6 courts. And if we really want to save money, we could just have one judge decide it and not have an appeal and save a ton of money. But cases that go to the Supreme Court often come up through the state court system, and then they go to the federal court system, and they go to a federal appellate court, and then they are heard by judges, a bigger panel of federal judges, and then they're remanded, and they're heard again. And, of course, I'm not typically aware of people referring to that as a manipulation. We actually treasure that as part of the due process in our country to make sure we get a good decision. So what is the, quote, manipulation here that the Oregon Editorial Board refers to of the city seeking a ruling from an independent court, frankly, a court of another state, so you could argue the deck is a little stacked. What's the manipulation in honoring the request of the victim and having the court decide this question?
Well, frankly, Commissioner Fish, I'm not aware of anything about that that is manipulation. Having a unbiased decision maker resolve issues such as this is really the foundation of the rule of law in our democracy.
So, and finally, Mayor and colleagues, if public records absolutists believe that Oregon law is wrong, there is recourse. That is to bring a bill before the legislature, because this has been decided. We do not give out this information unless you go through an extensive administrative process, and then we get to balance things like the impact on the victim and the victim's family and having this information out there. And frankly, knowing nothing about this, I can just only imagine. We can only imagine the kind of information that someone would not want disclosed in a case that is, you know, now what, almost 20 years stale. This person may have a family. This person, there may be other people identified in this report. We can only imagine. Oregon has decided that question. So the only question before us is, do we authorize you to let a judge in the state of Washington decide whether Oregon's concerns trump the more lax standards in Washington, yay or nay? And what would be the cost of that litigation?
Well, we're already here working, and we may have some relatively minor filing fee, but other than that, there will be no cost.
And is it conceivable that even if we lose this proceeding in standing up for this victim, it also helps us, whatever the ruling is, helps shape whatever policy that we adopt going forward about what records we do share with sister jurisdictions in the future?
Certainly, and it will, you know, we're going to work on that issue, and this will inform that.
Well, thank you for a very clear presentation.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, who is requesting this public record in Washington?
We believe, based on the information available to us, that it is the alleged, well, not alleged because they pled guilty and were convicted, but the perpetrator. Okay. That is our belief.
Yeah. Let's see who it was.
Public testimony? This is the public's time. Help guide us.
Good for Portland. I think that the victim in this case, definitely regardless of the person's age today, that their identity should be protected. And I think the
Mary,
city...
Mary, can I just qualify something for you?
Mm-hmm.
They are willing to redact the name, but as you can imagine, report that has other identifying information can not only help someone connect the dots to the victim, but to family members and other members. So I'm just talking conceptually here. A lot of different individuals could be unmasked, if you will, through the disclosure of this, and simply redacting the victims, anybody can put two and two together at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and that's my broader point is that I think that you're doing the right thing by going down the path that you're going down to have a judge or somebody make this decision, and I applaud you. I support it.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Creativity Watchdog. Again, my concern is the perpetrator. It appears to me that is there in any way that the perpetrator is being protected by this? I would like full disclosure who that is. I'd like to understand what state that person is living in. I'd like to understand what type of job they currently have. I'd like to understand if they're running for any political office. I'd like to understand why the city of Portland is positioning themselves right now so aggressively on this one particular case to, in my opinion, almost keep it kind of hush and not have things disclosed. What is the true motivation behind the city of Portland to do that? Do they do that on other cases? Have they done that on other cases? But what is it about this case right now that they want to step in and do this. I want to have a clear understanding from my position who the perpetrator is, where that perpetrator resides, what information the public has on that perpetrator, and is this a way to keep that silenced at this time from the city of Portland? Because Washington wants to release that information, if I'm correct. But the city of Portland, for some reason, wants to silence certain things on this agreement. And I want to see all of the information. Now, I'll agree, the victim has a right not to be disclosed. But is that what we're trying to do right now, and only right now, on the victim? So are they just going to look at the victim's name and cross that over? Are they going to start crossing out other names? And that's what I want to know. Is the city of Portland in any way protecting the perpetrator and their family members and their relatives and anybody around this perpetrator in any way? And that's why they're taking an aggressive approach right now. Or have they done this in the past and they were successful? Obviously, they haven't been. But yet they're really focusing right now on this situation. So I just want to see all the details again. I don't want to know who the victim is, not from my position. But I want to know who that perpetrator is. And I want to know more facts and more data on this, and not to keep it hush. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. We were thoroughly confused with this item. We didn't understand how in God's name you could put it on consent agenda. We just had an intelligent, good discussion on this item. But you wanted it on consent agenda, and at least the three people who spoke on the council had no clue of what they were going to vote on. And you admitted that, which drives us a little bit more crazy, that you're voting on something you do not understand. We didn't understand it. We took it that we have documents that Washington wants, and we want to redact it more than they do. That's what we got out of that. That's what the discussion is close to that. That's the main issue, I think. The other way around, we are more severe.
Won't cut into your time, Joe, but they have, Washington, Clark County has the document.
That's what we didn't understand. Who had the document?
Clark County has the document.
Where did they get the documents from?
They got it from the city of Portland.
Okay, stop there. Why can't we or the state of Oregon say, this is the way you're going to get the documents? Like, if I went to get these documents, I would probably be denied. So we do have safeguards. I'm suggesting that we extend the safeguards and say, this is our redacted policy, and I don't care if you're Joe Walsh or you're the DA for some city. This is what you're getting, because it's our laws and it's our responsibility to keep those documents safe. So we were totally confused of how the hell did they get the documents. They already have them. All we're trying to do now, I think, is to stop them from actually publishing or making it public awareness or public documents. That's our suggestion. Our suggestion is to expand whatever is needed, and maybe the city council could contact our representatives, and I surely will contact my representative and say, what is this? Why can't we stop this stuff? We are all in favor of the victim here. There's no argument here. We're just trying to figure out what the hell happened. And this is why we don't like these consent agenda items, because we like these discussions. Intelligent. You were very, very good there, Commissioner Fish. You asked really good questions. So were you, Mayor. That's what we need. Thank you, and I'll pay you back sometime later.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
We have the city attorney just come back for 1 second.
Tracy, could you come back for 1 moment? Commissioner Fish has a follow-up question based on testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have one other.
Cedric,
you're testifying on this matter?
Yes.
sorry. Oh, Cedric, why don't you go ahead and finish, and then we'll have Tracy. Thanks. Sorry.
Let me.
Yeah, please go ahead.
I'm Cedric Wilkins. In the next couple of weeks, I will get involved with immigrant rights. Perhaps this relates to their background and digging up reasons why they shouldn't live here. And so I would prefer that these issues on people's background be kept a secret as much as possible. And so that's basically I side with Oregon and this attempt here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Jeanette Thiebert. Didn't think I'd be speaking on this, but I'm going to surprise you all and be under 3 minutes. As a family member of a similar scenario, I'm encouraged by your line of questioning, Commissioner Fish. A similar scenario played out amongst people that I care about. And that person was close to the same age of this individual. And if that came out again, it would totally unravel the victim's life. And so for that reason, I commend the type of questioning and the due diligence that your office is doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. Two questions. Tracy, and one is suggested by testimony that we had before. In any injunction proceeding that we initiate to have a court rule on this question, would the victim have standing to intervene to set forth his or her position on this case?
We will provide the victim with notice, and I would think a court would find that the victim has standing.
I think it's very important. I think my sense for my colleagues is we'd want to make sure that the victim had a chance through an attorney, to be heard on this question, because it's clear that if this proceeding was initiated in Oregon, that the victim's interest would be protected by DHS and by state law, which is very clear.
Absolutely.
And my second question is just about how we avoid these situations in the future. And I realize this goes back to 1992, and I don't know when these records were actually forwarded to Clark County, but when someone is convicted of a sex offense, they do have to register in every jurisdiction where they live, and presumably there's a standard protocol where police agencies ask for some confirmation that someone was convicted. It seems to me we could come up with a template that gave them what they needed without revealing information that under Oregon law would be considered confidential.
Absolutely, and I think this has clarified for all of us that we need to have that type of procedure in place so we don't have this situation in the future.
And I think we have the template that you suggested to me earlier when we spoke, which is we currently go the extra mile to make sure that any information we share with a sister law enforcement agency is not used improperly by ICE in violation of state law, correct?
Correct.
So we have a mechanism to ensure that our values and our laws are followed even if we share information with someone else.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Commissioner Daly.
Tracy, I just want to thank you for your efforts on this. It's a really thorny issue and a difficult conversation. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, obviously when someone's convicted of a crime, that's a matter of public record. When someone's convicted of a sexual assault, they are required to register. That information is also available online. I support shielding the survivor, which is what I would encourage everyone to call this individual 20 years later, they're a survivor, from any additional exposure or trauma, because we don't do nearly enough to support sexual assault victims to begin with, and this could be very devastating to this individual and other members of the family.
And I just want to state as well that PPB was very concerned about this, and they're the ones who brought it to our attention because they were very concerned about protecting the survivor.
Very good. Thank you. Sue, please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Resolution is
Thank
adopted.
You.
Thank you. Moving on to something more cheerful, time certain, item 536.
Excuse me, Mayor, could we have the vote on the consent agenda?
Oh, I don't believe we did. Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. 536, please.